gospel. Jesus is talking about, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen even to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or tax collector. And as I was reading that, I was thinking about back when I was used to be principal. Because as principal, sometimes you're charged with, one of your responsibilities is you're in charge of discipline. And generally, by the time things get to the principal, it's not just like a little deal anymore. Usually it's been, something's blown up and it's clean up on aisle 9. But just as kind of following this sacred method, and it was actually kind of written into our handbook at the time similarly, but thinking about, like, how do you discipline? So usually when the first time you have an issue with a student, you know, you're kind of willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe something happened at home. Maybe, you know, somebody was just getting under their skin. You know, you had a blow up or something like that. So usually, you know, you talk to them. And usually you kind of give them the lowest, penalty, if you punishment you have. You know, so maybe it's a noon detention. But then, you know, things keep happening. You know, you go to something a little bit more. Maybe it's like an after-school detention. And eventually, you know, if those things don't work, what do? Well, you call the parents. And you have everybody comes in and you have a meeting. And you get together with them and you try to talk things out. And sometimes, it kind of depends on the parent. You know, some parents were like, well, my kid would never ever do anything wrong. It's like, I got some video evidence that says otherwise. it was always somebody else's fault or something. But generally speaking, parents are pretty good, and they would support you at home with what you were trying to do in the discipline. But eventually, if you kept having these issues and you kind of escalated things and the behaviors never ever changed, then you kind of got to the point. And thankfully, I don't know if it happened when I was principal or not. I know before there was one student that got expelled. But that was kind of the last resort. It's just like you can't, you know, live in community here, and so you have to go to school someplace else. And that was always a very sad thing. That was always like the worst, you know, case scenario, because there's all kinds of other, you know, things that go along with that. But what Jesus is telling us here is how, and this is one of the most difficult things for us as a human being, if your brother sins against you, or if you see your brother sinning, you know, in our society today, it's fraternal correction is something we find very difficult, because when you go to try to correct someone, generally speaking, the reaction is not going to be one of gratitude. It's like, oh, thank you. I had no idea I was doing something wrong. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. No, usually it's like, you can't tell me what to do. You can't. Why? You can't judge me. You know, and it's not about judging the person or saying that you're a terrible person or awful person. It's just that it's being able to look objectively at certain behaviors and saying that these behaviors are not good. These are not Christian behaviors. These are not things that Jesus teaches us that are acceptable. And so I think that's the first distinction that we want to make is that there's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about making it. There's a distinction between judging a person and judging a behavior. Because if you judge a person, you say, okay, then you're saying they're a horrible person. They're not redeemable. Obviously, we're not saying that. We're just saying that these behaviors are what we would call sinful. And as sin, that's not something that's good. It's not healthy either for the person committing the sin or for the person being sinned against. And so again, just generally the best thing to do is to go and talk to that person by yourself, alone. I've been doing some research for my doctorate, and there was one of the sisters, she was one of the principal of the St. Bernard's Academy in Nebraska City back in the 20s and 30s, and she had an issue with Mother Superior, and And she wrote to Bishop Kutra, and she was just kind of, she's like, I haven't talked to any of the other sisters about this, you know, and I know it wouldn't be proper. He was kind of her spiritual director, spiritual guide, and stuff like that. But finally she wrote a letter to him. He said, you know, finally Mother came for a visit, and I had an opportunity to talk, and we laid everything out on the table. And, you know, she was following sacred scripture. You know, if it's between him, find you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have one over your brother. Okay? So if that doesn't, then it says, you know, bring somebody else. You know, and, you know, maybe there's someone else that they respect. You know, sometimes I remember when I was at Pius, my second year teaching there. And I was having trouble with one of these students, and it was difficult. And I was working with a principal, and I was like, well, you know, what do I do? And he said, well, I know somebody that, he was kind of a mentor for this kid. And so we called him in, and we had a meeting with them. You know, and, you know, for the most part, you know, that was something that helped. But again, if that doesn't work, you know, then tell the church. You know, sometimes you can have like a little bit bigger group. I know when I was in with a group down in Kansas, you know, at the Professional Renewal Center, they were talking about, some of the guys were talking about interventions. You know, basically you get kind of the whole family together, you know, and especially if somebody had like say an addiction issue or things like that, again, they're everybody got together to try to help this person, you know, because their behaviors were destroying the family. Okay, and so if that doesn't work, then it does. Sometimes there does get to be a situation where we have to cut off in a certain sense, you have to kind of cut the person off. I'll give you one example. There was a family that I knew, and her son was really struggling, and he had a bunch of addiction issues and things like that, and so he was just getting out of prison, and so he called his parents, and they said to him, they were like, okay, we've got these rules, and you have to follow the rules, or you can't live here. So, well, lasted, I think it was about a week or so, and they came home, and he was had fallen back into his old habits, and they told him, you can't stay here. He said, well, I don't have any place to go, and it's winter, and they were like, well, maybe you better go someplace warm. I mean, which is really a hard thing, you know, for parents, you know, so they bought him a bus ticket to go to Florida, you know, and that was really hard, because I remember talking with her, she's like, Father, did we do the right thing? And I was like, well, you know, it was hard, but again, if you made if you had those expectations, if you didn't follow through, then you're just enabling the bad behavior. Well, finally, after, you know, he struggled for a couple more years, and finally he was able to get some help. And he called his, he went through a 12-step program, called his parents, apologized to them, and they've been able to heal and to repair that relationship. But it wasn't until they were able and willing to say to him, you can't stay here anymore. They had to basically kick him out of the house, which was really, really hard, that he was able to find healing, because he kind of finally was able to realize the seriousness. So again, these are difficult things for us as Christians. You know, fraternal correction is never ever something that we like to do, but it is a necessary part of living the Christian life. And so not only do we have to, you know, do that sometimes, but sometimes other people have to correct us. And so thinking about how do we accept correction, you know, because again, you know, if you're like me, I'm like, ah, you know, and you know, we get upset or whatever. But when we can be open to listening to somebody, if somebody notices something, because sometimes we have blind spots, we can't see things. And when we're open to listening to what other people have to say to us, then that can, take a step back and to look at our own behaviors, we can realize that, hey, maybe this isn't very good. Maybe I do need to change something in my life. And when we can both, you know, have that attitude of giving, but also then that willingness to receive, then that helps to create really kind of this culture where we can help one another. to live within the community and to grow as children of God. So let's take this advice from Jesus. And again, as difficult as it is, know that if our brother sins against us, go tell him your fault between you and him alone. And as we strive to work through this method that Jesus has given to us, then that will help us to be open to that grace that he gives to us, and to always to live as children.